Hello. Hello, you. Fancy seeing you here. Hi, my name's Sean, and I exist purely for my own amusement, clearly. Welcome to the Dice and Die Show Season 2. So all of you guys that have been listening to us over the last year, thank you so much. And as you may or may not know, Season 1, the Lost Mine of Phandelver campaign, is currently on a hiatus. We'll be back with that at some point in the future. We won't keep you waiting too long, I promise. But now we move on to Season 2, our Curse of Strahd campaign. So I just wanted to explain very quickly, this is Episode 1, technically, but it is our Session 0. We wasn't sure if we was going to release this as a podcast, but here we are. So this doesn't include all of our usual introductions and hello, how you been, and all the stuff we know you guys love. We just jump straight in, finding our feet for the characters. So definitely worth a listen because it sets up our whole campaign story. And then Episode 2 will be back to our usual excellent hosting selves. As you can tell, we're very, very good at this stuff. Anyway, this is about the 8th take I've done of this, so I should probably go. But strap yourselves in, buckle up, and the louder you scream, the faster the ride. Yay. Intro music. Go. One is recording.
Welcome one and all. Welcome to our next game, Curse of Strahd. Okay, so we've established that you guys are complete strangers, so that we're not going to start this with a party. So I'm going to roll a dice to see who goes first. Carry on is 1-2. Hempy is 3-4.
It's carry on.
Aranis is 5 or 6.
Just really. Clarifying, it's not carry on.
Carrion.
Carry on, Rathna.
Oh, sorry.
It just comes out with puns. That's it.
Carrion. Oh. Carry on regardless.
Carry on regardless.
So what I'm going to do is basically run each of you an introduction very short into the campaign, and then you'll see kind of how things unfold as we go from there. I rolled 1, and I said 1 and 2 was Carrion. I'm going to make sure I'm not saying carry on. So we'll start with you, Sean. Okay, so Carrion, you have been travelling Neverwinter, Waterdeep, the Forgotten Realms, after you've successfully navigated the first 4 levels of being a cleric. Well done.
Thank you.
You find yourself in Daggerford.
Romford. You find Dagenham yourself and Romford mixed.
Daggerford's a very well known
shithole
town where just outside of the main crazy bustling city of Waterdeep. So it's literally
Daggerford, like Dagenham and
Dagenham,
Romford,
Dagenham
it?
And Romford. This is a real place in the Forgotten Realms, by Amazing. The way, guys. I don't know if you know this. Daggerford just outside Waterdeep. It's a fairly busy township, but it's not a city. You're familiar with it. You're also familiar with the Crown's Guard, and you're on the good side of the law here. You've taken a few odd jobs here and there, and you run fairly good favour with Lady Morwen, who is essentially the town mayor, lady of the town, leader of the situation there. So one evening in autumn, she's invited you to a dinner, which is quite a common thing, really. But you get the impression it's an opportunity for you to network, talk to the higher ups, get your hands on any jobs, mercenary work, first come, first serve, essentially. I assume that you've accepted the invitation.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. A cool autumn breeze blows through the streets as you make your way to the keep. When you arrive, you dine on hot and spicy soup and tenderly cooked pheasant. You can tell that the Duchess seems more out of sorts than usual. Then a pal comes over to, over the occasion as she voices her concerns about a band of wayward travellers camped outside the town's walls. This really is like Dagenham. They seemed harmless at first, but Morwen
started tagging all the walls and tearing the pensioners and.
Indeed. They seemed harmless at first, but Morwen has received reports that they've begun harassing townsfolk and other visitors as they come and go, demanding money, wine, and threatening to put hexes on anyone who doesn't pay up. Great. Yesterday, the Duchess ordered several guards to scare them away, but they couldn't get the job done because when the guards returned, it appeared that they had been charmed. They spoke sympathetically about the visitors and they had been, some were magically charmed, some were just charmed with some wine and just given, showed a really bloody good time. So they decided, no, we don't really want to move these guys on. Morwen doesn't want any armed conflict. She wants someone to go in there and try and give a stern message to leave before dawn. She says that if they don't leave before dawn, she'll have their wagons burned to the ground. She's very serious about this situation. She trusts you as someone who's solved some kind of, you know, social issues before in the town to maybe give this a crack. So she's laid this plan out to you. Carrion, would you feel comfortable trying this for me? There'll be good pay in it for you, I promise.
Oh, I'm sure, my lady, I can see what I can do to help better your cause, of course, of course.
Well, I hate to cut our revelry short, but I would really like them to be gone by tomorrow morning. So yeah, have your fill, but as soon as you're able, if you could pop out and go see to them on the edge of town, I'd be most grateful.
Possible that I could take any of your Crown's guards with me, you know, for protection, in some way, shape, or form.
Have what you need. So she looks over to her kind of nearest two, you know, guys just standing guard at the edges of the dining hall. She nods to them. They sort of roll their eyes. They don't really want to bother these folk, but they'll come with you. So as the dinner wraps up, you are free to do whatever it is you want to do.
I think I will. Am I in my armor? And
you have everything you want on you.
Yeah, excellent. I think I'm going to go. I'll sort of head to the just outside of town to have a look at these guys from a distance. I'm going to try and suss them out a little bit.
Okay. And you're taking the two Crown's Guard with you. Yeah.
I'm going to get them to hang back. Just they're there just in case, you know, I get bundled into the back of a caravan and I'm never seen again.
So we'll say that they're 30 feet out of the edge of town slight bit further down the road, probably another 30, 40, 50 feet ahead. And from the distance that you're at, it is nighttime, but you can quite clearly see a caravan of travellers. They have arched wagons, colourfully decorated. There's a fire going. You can hear music. But that's about as much as you can make out from the distance you're at right now.
So can I see, like, what from where I am, if I'm walking towards them, can I see a rough, like, age groups? Are there kids there? Are these families or are these thugs?
There's blatantly kids there. You can see them.
Roll me a first roll of the game, guys. Hey. Hey. Roll me a perception check, please.
Oh, the old nautical dice. Even with a plus six, I rolled a seven, so shit maths. 13? Unlucky for everyone.
From this distance, you can make out tall humanoids and short humanoids, but in the world of the Forgotten Realms, they could be gnomes or halflings. You could probably make the assumption that they're travelling families by the look of the wagons and you know, the sort of makeup of the campsite they've got here. Well, anything else you wanted to know from that perception?
Can I see any of them? Can I see if any of them are armed, sort of, you know, on their hip, holstered weapons?
Yeah, you don't actually see any weapons from your current perspective.
Okay.
No holstered swords. If you were to move closer, you might be able to get a better look.
I think I'm going to head into camp, you know, non-threateningly. Awesome. Threateningly.
Non-threateningly.
Non-lethally.
So as you sort of head towards their camp, you can see a dozen men and women gathered round a crackling bonfire. They're all in very good spirits. A few of them sing and dance around. Some of them are sharing flasks and wineskins. There's three barrel-topped wagons parked at like jaunty angles. And mostly the children are asleep, either sort of dotted around the campfire or in the wagons themselves. Tied to the trees nearby are their horses that have obviously been given a rest from pulling wagons and been fed and watered. And they just seem to be having a thoroughly nice time. So you walk into camp and sort of make yourself known.
Yeah.
You're not trying to hide or anything.
I'm going to, as I'm getting closer, I'm going to sort of start clapping along to their music, you know, like, ah. Wonderful, wonderful. Wow, lovely music, lovely music.
So a man, a very sort of cheery looking, rosy cheeked, olive skinned man with dark, long, curly hair. He's got a purple and gold bandana wrapped around his head. He's got very billowy sleeves, mismatched clothing that all kind of gives the air of decadence and showmanship, but with none of the probably actual expense. You know, mixture of silks and things. But his belt is tied, you know, it's a bit of rope. As you approach him, he looks at you and gives you a really bright, wide smile. And he's like, friend,
I stab
come
him.
And join our revelry. No. Oh, God.
No, I'm joking. Oh, thank you for inviting me into your lovely, lovely abode, which you have around here. Let me introduce myself. My name is Carrion Rethner. I am of service to the Crown's Guard and Lady Mormon. Hello.
All right.
It's my absolute pleasure to meet you. My name is Stanimir, and he passes out his hand for a big hearty handshake. Really strong. You know, one of those handshakes that almost pulls you off balance, right? So what can we do for? Get the man some wine, and you can see that people kind of rush around and try and show you real gypsy hospitality. You know, they push a chair behind you and they want you to kind of enjoy in the revelry.
Oh, wonderful. I don't suppose you have any rum or is it just the wine? It's fine either way, you know. I can't
do you rum today, I'm afraid.
But oh, never mind.
We
never
do
mind.
Have some of the finest wine from our family history, special recipe.
Oh, then as Pelor once said unto them all, pour the red wine and it shall be enjoyed. And he does
a little symbol. He gives a very hearty laugh. I like your style, my friend. So everyone seems super happy with your arrival. The music kicks up. You get handed a flagon of wine and... you just sit there together quietly enjoying the revelry until eventually he turns and says to you, so come on then, out with it. You've obviously got a purpose.
No, fair enough. You caught me out. Well, I was just wondering how you're finding your time here in Daggerford and what brings you this way and to set up camp outside our lovely, lovely town. What brings you to these hear parts?
He laughs and he says
he laughs back.
Carrion, my friend,
new fine. Friend. Sorry, carry on. you after you.
Have you not heard of gypsies? Traveling community that don't really, you know, we're nomads. We travel, we move, we don't really have a singular home. This is sort of what we do.
Oh, no, fine. All welcome. All cultures are accepted. As Pelor once said, all cultures are equal, probably. I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but we have had some complaints of some attacks on our local people. And hey, look, I'm not a guard or anything like that. I'm just a humble cleric who's come to make peace, if you will. Is there any truth to these rumours? Or...
I have some good news for you, Carrion. We don't wish to make any enemies of Lady Morwen. You might... You're obviously a religious man.
Oh.
You might be familiar with people comparing religions to superstitions, to, you know, people trying to understand their way in the world. But we Vistani...
Bless you.
...have a particular set of... I'm starting to sound like Liam Neeson. Particular set of skills. we Vistani have a long-held tradition, which is a tradition about fate and destiny. Reading the cards, the tea leaves. You've probably seen people in towns do it, but we hold it in our bloodline. It's very, very close to our heart. And the truth of the matter is, sir, that we've landed here outside of Daggerford because our fates told us to. And in fact, I believe that our fates told us to find you.
He looks over his shoulder. Oh, okay. Me, right, of course. Well, please.
I sense a great unease in you, Carrion.
All right.
You don't know your path yet.
Well, the path of Pelor has been given unto me. And that's...
Indeed it has.
Yep. He's looking
you're
a
not
bit...
Into-
he's getting a bit cold, sweaty, and he's like...
I would hazard a guess that you are...
remit.
I'd hazard a guess that you're unsure why.
Well, yeah.
And what you might have noticed at this point is actually everyone in the camp has gone silent.
Okay.
Everyone. Right. The music has stopped. The air is now really thin. The atmosphere hasn't... It's not an unpleasant atmosphere, but it's changed. The focus is entirely on you. The fire seems to have dimmed a little bit. We don't want to make an enemy of Lady Morwen. All right, maybe they're not that comfortable with our traditions and the way that we greet travellers. We're loud, you know, we're in the way, but we'll be gone by the morning if you would do me the favour of listening to our story and why we think we need you.
Well, they say that stories are best told. So yeah, please enlighten me with your story.
Okay.
Ooh, music. Actually, you know what? I'll just take a thoughts. I'm very busy. Yeah.
Salamir fills his mouth with wine, then spits into the fire. The flames turn from orange to green. As they dance and sway, a dark shape appears in the bonfire's core. We come from an ancient land whose name is long forgotten, a land of kings. Our enemies forced us from our homes, and now we wander the lost roads as gypsies. The dark shape in the fire takes the form of a man being knocked from his horse and a spear piercing his side. Stanimir continues. One night, a wounded soldier staggered into our camp and collapsed. We nursed his terrible injury and quenched his thirst with wine. He did survive. When we asked him who he was, he wouldn't say. All he wanted was to return home. But we were deep in the land of his enemies. So we took him as one of our own, followed him back towards his homeland. His enemies hunted him. They said he was a prince, yet we didn't give up. Even when their assassins fell upon us like wolves. Deep in the bonfire, you see the dark figure standing with a sword drawn, fighting off a host of shadowy assassin shapes. This man of royal blood fought to protect us as we protected him. We bore him safely to his home, and he thanked us. He said, I owe you my life. Stay as long as you wish. Leave when you choose, and know that you will always be safe here. The figure in the dancing fire vanquishes its final foe, then disappears in a cloud of smoke and embers. Stanmere's face throughout this story has been excited and animated, but then his face becomes a somber mask. A curse has befallen our noble prince, the one who protects us, the one who we protected. He's turned into a tyrant. We alone do not have the power to free and leave his domain. We've travelled far and wide to find heroes such as yourselves to end our dreaded lord's curse and put his troubled soul back to rest. Our leader, our elder, Madam Eva, knows all and sees all. If you were to speak to her, you might be able to help us lift this curse. We've seen it in our fortunes. I wanted to fade that music out. It just ended abruptly. I literally turned it down and it just went.
That's such a shame.
Even better for it.
You, could you roll me a wisdom saving throw, please?
Natural 20.
Okay. So as he closes his story, you get the sense that he was trying to cast a charm on you, but you resisted it. Now, it's up to you to do with that information what you will. They're not being aggressive or anything at this point.
Can I insight check him and see if
I can?
Roll
me an insight check.
I'm going to use that same dice because... No, 15. I'm proficient, if that helps.
What you gather is that this man's a very good storyteller, and you gather that they do believe in their fates and their fortunes, and that they really do believe that they have a path laid out and you have a path laid out, and that you are the one that they're finding. But I think essentially he went for the spell in an act of kind of desperation.
Okay.
To try and turn the favor into his way. You know, if you were going to agree to do anything, it would be much easier to do it if you were under the influence of a charm. That's as much as you gather. So what do you say, Carrion? Do you believe that your fates are intertwined with ours? We do.
Well, I'm a man who's seen many things at the hands of fate. And I would say I'm somewhat partial to its existence. So yeah, fuck it. In for a penny, in for a pound. Where is she?
So he gives you, he looks relieved, and he gives you a big hearty handshake once again. And you can stay at that campsite for another hour or so, and he'll give you instructions and directions on where to go, telling you basically to travel away from Daggerford on the next day for a day's travel, and you will find yourself at a crossroads, and you're looking for a road sign to Barovia, which you've never actually heard of before, but you know there's plenty of little townships and bits and bobs on the way, you know, around Waterdeep. It's a huge continent. Day's travel outside of Daggerford, you'll see what that's about. All rather mysterious. So we're going to move on now to Hempy. So Hempy, you, let's figure out what you would be doing right now. So you would be, Hempy is a monk, right?
Yes.
I think one of your traits was like, you very much keep to yourself. You rarely speak when you don't need to. So if you were traveling around Waterdeep, you probably wouldn't have paired up with anyone at this stage, right?
No, if I'm there, I'd be there because of a contract or because there was a reason to be there, but like I wouldn't really mix with outside people.
Okay. So let's say you're between contracts right now. You don't have anything really pressing. You've just popped yourself a boatload of cash. Oh, by the way, have you rolled your D10 for your cash?
Yes, I did. I did, and I have got quite a lot. I think I rolled an 8.
So nice.
200 gold.
So you've just finished some epic, you know, saving a damsel in distress type story, and you feel quite pleased with yourself. You feel like it's aligned with your philosophies. You've done a moral good, and you want to just continue on your path. Do you have any particular place goals, like where you were heading to or anything?
Well, not really, but I suppose if I just got back into town for something, I'd be looking for something like a tea house or something like that.
Okay. Like if we are putting you in Daggerford, then we would...
tea houses.
Yes. Yeah, maybe a Subway. You're going to end up most likely in the local tavern.
Okay.
That's the closest thing you will get to refreshment. You can walk into that tavern and you will see, well, there's a, you know, it's a really bog standard place. There's no music or anything. There's a hearth. There's a few different groups of people just kind of nursing some pints of ale. A fairly cheery looking barman, a towel over his shoulder, cleaning some tankards. Very classic setup situation. As you walk in, he gives you a sort of knowing nod of, you know, oh, here's another stranger. What would you like to do?
Innkeeper. And I have quite a quiet, calm voice, by the way. Not like
quiet. Okay.
yes, innkeeper. I require some tea and some privacy.
I could probably do you some tea. And privacy, well, it's quite a busy hour here in our little inn. But why don't I clear that corner table for you on the end of the bar? Is that all right?
Yes, that will be adequate. Thank you.
Okay,
very much.
No bother. Follow me. So he leads you up to like the end of the bar, which is pretty much where he sits, like when there's no business. And he's clearing it off for you. And he's like, tea. I think I can sort you up some tea. Just give me a moment. And he goes away, comes back with what he assumes is tea. And it's warm leaf water is presented to you. And he's trying to be as hospitable as possible. You get the impression that he is not really a man of wealth and stature, but he tries to give off the air. He's a very proud man.
Yeah, he's a proud man. And he's trying to give me tea.
He's tried to fulfill your needs as a customer. The customer's always right.
Well, what's my constitution? Yeah. Okay, well, I look at him, then I look at the cup. And
he looks at you eagerly.
I pick up the cup and I smell it. Okay. Thank you, innkeeper. That will be all.
Do you want to roll a quick perception on the tea just to see if it will kill you or not?
That's not a bad idea. Yeah,
you certainly can. You might know this.
Oh, 8.
Great. It smells like warm mud.
Yeah, it's like Co-op home brand or
like
something.
Earthy. Yeah. Like not the best beans coffee sort of situation.
Yeah, but tea.
Don't think it's going to kill you though.
Okay, well. Yeah.
So he seems really like friendly and sweet. And, you know, he definitely didn't mean any ill intent in that gesture. He's just trying to please his customer. And he asks you for 2 silver for the tea. And then I assume you pay him?
Yeah, I do pay him. I'll pay him more than that, though. I'll give him double what he asks.
Wow. Wow, he's very, very pleased with that transaction. Gives you lots of nods and walks off looking kind of proud and happy with himself that he made tea.
He walked off, so it was worth the money.
And you are left there to your thoughts and to look around. And what you... you know, you keep yourself to yourself, right? So you're kind of just looking at your tea, pondering on the day. But, you know, you can take in the surroundings of the tavern, and it's people that are busy, you know, having conversations at the end of their work day, talking about family dramas and, you know, love affairs and this kind of stuff. And I get the impression that your character wouldn't really be that bothered by that kind of stuff.
No, it wouldn't. I would consider that just part of what these foreigners do.
Yeah, and I think you'd be looking for more of a higher, I don't know, a higher calling, higher conversation, something more, a bit more philosophical maybe.
Yes, I would be.
Wonderful.
Very much so.
As you spend a few minutes in the tavern, you notice somebody enter who is not dressed like anybody else. In the tavern, they have incredibly elaborate clothing, purples, golds, reds, billowy cloak, billowy shirt. You also notice that they have lots of what looks to be quite expensive jewellery on their fingers, hands, wrists, earrings. They're male, very, very pale-skinned, human with somewhat pointy features. You get the impression they might be a half-elf.
Right.
And they kind of
basically
walk in.
It's the crow, isn't it?
Yes, it's the crow. It's Brandon Lee. So yeah, they walk in up to the bar, quietly order an ale, and they sit about two or three seats away from you. They kind of you check that they eyeball you out of the corner of their eye, but then they kind of bring their head down and actually face away from you, face forward.
Would he have heard of my attire? Because I'm wearing a very distinctive red shawl. Right.
He would not.
No, okay.
He has, well, yeah, I don't think he would know of your order.
Okay.
If that were to make sense. But it seems as though he's put it this way, he's given you the waiver. As he starts to finish his drink, he actually kind of shuffles in his cloak a little bit. And on the bar, you just see a tiny little corner of a piece of paper slide out from under his hand. Nothing kind of happens for a second. And then he very quickly goes to leave, leaving this folded letter on the bar, a couple of seats away from you, but next to you.
I look quizzically like a person would. And then I go to pick up the paper.
Are you doing that secretively or just going to go grab it?
No, I'm just going to grab it.
Great, that's fine. So you lean over and take the folded piece of paper. You notice that there is a red wax seal on this closed letter. And
do an insight on that or anything?
Well, I can tell you what's on the seal.
Yeah.
To begin with. Okay, so the wax seal has a picture of a tall, spired building with a raven.
Would I know who this is? Is this this Morwen or something?
Roll me a history check. Monks are pretty good at this sort of stuff because they're 13. Very studied. 13.
Yes.
It doesn't ring any bells. You know of some, some family crests that have ravens and crows. You know of some family crests that have spired buildings. Nothing that you know of combines the two in the history that you understand.
Okay, I'd like to read it.
Okay, I'll read it to you and then I will quickly get rid of it because I think there might be some spoilery stuff underneath it. So don't read ahead. It says, "Hail to thee of might and valour. I, a lowly servant of Barovia, send honour to thee. We plead for thy so desperately needed assistance. The love of my life, Irina Koliana, has been afflicted by an evil so deadly that even the good people of our village cannot protect her. She languishes from her wound, and I would have saved her from this menace. There is such wealth in this community. I offer all that might be had to thee and thy fellows, if thou shalt answer my desperate plea. Come quickly, for her time is at hand. And that I have shall be, and all that I have shall be thine." I can't even speak. And it says, signed by Kolian Indirovich, Burgomaster. Right. And you can now close that letter.
Well, you'd think they'd leave a fucking address, wouldn't you?
You would.
So
now
come as quick as you can. Where?
You, thinking that, obviously, I mean, I would imagine you'd look around to see if the fella that left the note is about anywhere.
Yes. Is he about?
He's at the front door of the tavern and catches your eye and then he leaves.
Oh, okay then.
He's trying to give you the...
He's
playing hard to get. He's looking coyly over his shoulder and giving you a wink.
All right, well, I'm going to follow the plant. I'm going to follow the guy.
Okay. Now, I don't think if he even wanted to outrun you, he could, because monks are crazy and cool and have lots of dope monk shit. But he's not going to. He's definitely leading you into just outside the tavern so that there's a quieter place that he can talk. Right. He introduces himself. My name is Aragal. I have been sent to find a capable individual to help with my master's plea. You've read the letter. It is very dangerous. But you, I've heard that you have, you know, completed some pretty dangerous tasks in nearby towns, and I've followed you for a day or two to find a moment to ask you to take on this quest.
Yeah, well, of course I'll take on the quest. That's not a problem.
Oh, I'm so relieved to hear that you would help our plight. He gives you instructions and directions to Barovia. Again, yeah. you've never heard of this place, but he says, I'm adamant that this is how you get there. It's 24 hours. You just, you know, you'll need one like overnight camp.
Have you got anyone that's coming with me, or am I going alone?
At that question, he actually gives a little bit of a side smile. Your destiny's intertwined with others. Right. You won't be alone on this journey, but I can't tell you more than that.
No, well, I actually take that as like that's just the universe doing what the universe does. I completely understand what he says, probably more than what he thinks. I'm just like, of course.
So he's just
what I say, of course.
Awesome. Of course. He's very pleased with this transaction. He thinks, yeah, I've done my master's proud. And he scutters off into the night. So you have been charged with this mission. Right, let's get on to Aranis Morissette. Aranis.
Mm-hmm.
You, being the cheeky little devil that you are in... Would you say that Aranis likes a bit of a good time, a bit of a drink?
Oh, absolutely.
Few women or men, depending on his persuasion.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have just finished some sort of beautifully epic heist where you not only got to fuck over the man, but you also got to fuck over some rich douchebags who morally are on the right side of things, but you were like, fuck it, I've got their money. Yeah. You're pretty proud of yourself, and you have spent that in a brothel. So you are currently in bed
knees deep
beside a beautiful semi-naked woman who has some... She has a reddish tint to her skin. She's like a tiefling descendant. Devilish in bed as well. And you're essentially... So I told you, Gav's character, sexy. I got some real like vibes from this dude.
I was there, probably sexy vibes.
It was pretty sexy.
And you guys are just sitting there having idle chit-chat, drinking some very nice wine, having a relaxing evening, when all of a sudden... This woman lying next to you jumps up on top of you, and you think, all right, ayo, round two, here we go. And then before you can kind of think about it, her arm is pressed against your neck and she's trying to choke you out.
Oh, it's getting good.
So roll me roll me a strength check, please. See if you can break this stunned grapple.
Right, so this is strength check is about a plus two on strength. Plus two on strength. A six.
So you actually start to lose your breath and consciousness a little bit. So it's difficult to push her off.
My dear, we didn't seem to discuss a safe word.
As you start to... kind of the tunnel vision starts to come in, you sort of remember that your clothes are just sort of to the side of you, and that you might be able to grab something out of your pack and your shit to kind of help you assist. So reach out for your dagger. Roll me a dex check, please.
That's a 17.
Lovely. Okay, so you have your hand directly on your dagger. Luckily, the rogue in you knows where you put your shit. It's up to you what you want to do. So you could always do a non-lethal attack. I don't know if you've talked about this in D&D, but you could like try and knock her out with the hilt of your blade, or you could just straight up fucking stab her. That's up to you.
I think I'll go for the knockout.
Okie dokie. So roll me an attack. Now, you won't get sneak attack or anything. It's just a straight attack. I want to say that you're plus seven to hit.
Yowza, fuck me. You guys can hit.
That's all right.
I rolled a three.
So 10 total.
Yeah.
That actually hits. Oh, she's quite soft and squishy. She's just a cute little one.
Yeah, she is.
she's just a...
So probably. You take the temple of her and she... Not is knocked
take
out.
The temple of her.
You'll take, you'll
the, take the temple of her.
Temple of prostitute.
That sounds yeah, that sounds worse than it is. You give her a good old thwack on the temple. She gets knocked out. She leans down, passes out. You push her off, catch your breath, and you think, what the fuck? Like, we were just talking. This was totally fine. And you look over at her, and as she's leaned over, kind of facing, you've pushed her off on the bed, you notice for the first time puncture wounds in the back of her head, right underneath her hairline, that are, you know, without seeing the back of her head underneath her hair, they're quite prominent. Although I'm not going to get into what positions you were probably in 10 minutes previously. I think that's something that you notice kind of straight away.
Okay.
Roll me a intelligence check.
Plus
one. 13.
It could be a million things, but you've definitely heard of vampires, but not round here, not in Daggerford, right? You are miles away from any of the Underdark entrances. You're miles away from, swathes of undead from war-torn battlefields from long ago, which is where you'd normally find shit like this. So it's a head-scratcher, man. Where the fuck did she come from? And you know, you're not really happy about it. What's your next move? I mean, you were going to stay here for the night. This was your room and board. What would you like to do? You're naked also.
I'm naked.
It's not also you're naked. It's you're naked also.
Also.
Well, you know, I'm quite proud of my body.
He's a little rogue.
I'm going to stroll over to the door and poke my head out the door and see if the madam's still in the area.
Sure. You get yourself together, open the door, look up and down the corridor. You don't see anybody. Are you going to go looking for the madam?
Yeah, I think I'll stick my clothes on before I do that, though.
Oh, okay. Shame. Okay, right. So we've got, you've got all your shit together. You've gathered all your money and your weapons and everything.
Before I do that, can I tie up this tiefling?
I would imagine that there's already handcuffs in the room. So sure, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'm cuffing her up.
Absolutely, you've secured her. She hasn't come to yet, so I'm going to let you go off and find the madam of the house.
Yeah.
And as you stumble around looking in the rooms, there's no one here.
Okay.
What was originally quite a busy night in this brothel. There's, you know, a little bar out the front, a little waiting area, loads of different rooms. Reception has been left empty. There's no one about, you know, there's nothing around.
Strange.
Very odd.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the room.
Yep.
And I'm going to give her a little tippy-tap around the face just to rouse her. Maybe chuck some water in her face.
Wonderful. You go back into the room. She's restrained. Dash of water or wine in the face. She starts to come to, and she starts to behave in a very aggressive and feral way. The veins pop out of her head. She's, you know, exorcist kind of your mother sucks cocks in hell situation. She's starting to writhe. She knows she's being restrained. She wants at you.
Holy shit.
Okay, so my dear, I don't seem to remember ordering any of this. This isn't my usual type of kink. What the hell is going on?
She basically has lost the ability to answer you. She's essentially barking now. You've noticed that her teeth have sharpened. Barking in Daggerford. That's the episode title.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. It only seems what you would do to a rabid dog is to put it down. So I'll finish her off.
And then kill her.
And then kill her.
She's restrained. So your attacks would have... So here's the... Let's do this quick. So she's restrained. Yeah. Your attacks would have advantage. You would get sneak attack. You'd probably only have to hit her once, being a roguey type person.
Oh, wait, she's not got a lot of hit points. Gavin's fucked.
He's beating up a woman. You eventually put this poor creature out of her misery, and she barks at you no more.
First kill. A prostitute.
Now, there's
just
that's been a lot.
Aranis the Ripper.
Aranis.
Yeah, classy game, at least. Nice one.
So that's made a lot of noise. You know, that wasn't a quiet or sneaky assassin kill, but yet no one has come to her aid. No one has come to see what's going on. This is getting fucking weird.
Okay, so I've checked the corridor, checked the reception.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check outside, I guess, see if the streets are empty.
So you go out, well, you swing open the front door, and what you see is incredibly strange. You don't see Daggerford anymore. You see a forest tree line with an imposing mist.
I see a black square at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Really dark.
I see shit.
It's really super dark.
It's really dark.
Don't have night vision, I'm afraid.
An imposing forest with a mist.
Oh,
hold on.
Dear.
You see that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, that is epic.
It's
like an Outcast album cover.
Yeah.
That is what you see before you. And you know that's not where you left.
Mm-hmm.
Do you move anywhere?
I guess I venture out and...
Okay. You step outside into the edge of this forest. You move about 10 feet.
Yeah.
15 feet. 20 feet. And just for... You know, just to see what has kind of transpired here. You turn back to look for the outside of the brothel, and it is gone. All you see is further forest and mist. It's the visibility is very much like the picture. You've got about 10, 15 feet of visibility, and then it's mist, and it's getting and it's dark as well. Very, you know, it's nighttime, but the sky is also cloudy. You know, the mist almost seems to stretch up to the sky. You can't really tell the difference between, you know, the two greys, as it were. This mist seems to have a weird kind of ethereal light behind it, which gives you some visibility. But now the panic starts to set in. You feel like, where am I? I feel like I might be lost. And that's where we're going to stop for a quick wee break.
Okie doke.
Into the woods. From all of us here at the Dice and Die, thank you so much for downloading our podcast. If you enjoy listening to us, then please head over to iTunes, Stitcher or Podchaser.com and leave us a review. Thank you to our very own James Bly for all the music you hear during our shows. And finally, thank you to, me, this is awkward, for all your video production, audio editing and content creation needs, head over to my website, seanleefilms.co.uk. Thank you once again, and we'll see you next time. The Dice and Die is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Hi guys, it's Luke. Very quick intro before the episode starts this week. You're about to hear an advert. Never done this before. But it's basically a favour, a podcast I listen to called The Billowing Hilltop, great bunch of guys, and I've become quite friendly with their GM, Mike, over the past couple of months as we've been growing and going through this journey together, him with his podcast, us with ours, and I love their show. So they've put a little promo together, and I said I'd play it at the beginning of our show. If you like how they sound, they're similar to us, maybe a bit more serious, but they've got a great little homebrew world. Now, I'd highly recommend checking them out. It's The Billowing Hilltop. Please, please, please do. Once you finish listening to us, our episode, and you've loved it, and then you've gone and reviewed it, obviously, because, of course, why wouldn't you? Go have a look. Whatever app you're using, Spotify, whatever, have a little search for The Billowing Hilltop and check out my friends. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We're going to give it another go. It's a bit more zing.
A bit of zing.
Yeah. Ready? Hello.
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 No. Hello.
Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Wait till. Hello with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, dear. We're waiting to get through the whole thing.
I thought that was
the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello, we're the Blowing Kilt Off. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay. That was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.blowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
It's .com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
I don't know.
And
we will be delighted if you to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. We play Dungeons & Dragons.
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Bleh.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn, and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook, and we hope you join us. Thanks very much.
Danger. Mystery. Intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song?
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.